Welcome to this edition of Money Matters. I'm John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Thanks for tuning in this morning. We always glad to have you here on Saturday mornings from about this time till around 10:30. We're going to talk about what's been going on in the markets for the week and also got a couple of great topics I want the guys to respond to today. Mike Flaherty, Chris Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management are joining me. Hello, guys. You ready to go? You're all ready, Mike?
We're ready.
I'll start with you then. Mike, we saw, I think, which, you know, we don't pay a lot of attention to numbers, but from a historical perspective, when you cross a 23,000 barrier in the Dow, and of course the S&P has also performed terrifically this year, anything that you see to derail or any expectations that you've got between now and maybe year end?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, as far as what might really knock us off, I think we're into the earnings season, as we've mentioned in the past couple weeks, and we've really seen, as it started, some strong fundamentals, solid earnings. I think you have the hope kind of being priced in right now with the likelihood that maybe some tax reform gets done and gets accomplished, whether it's before the end of this year or going into 2018. Beige Book came out this week and kind of showed some of the same issues with the really economy,
right?
You know, weathering the storms that we've seen. The tightening of the labor market suggests that the inflation isn't a concern, but I think they're still expecting the Fed to go ahead and raise rates in December as they've been discussing. So really nothing, you know, there's always, as we've mentioned many times, you know, whether it's North Korea or any of those major concerns that are always looming out there. But from a fundamental standpoint, which is really what the S&P and the Dow and all the major indexes we follow price in, a lot of those fundamentals, earnings of companies look really good and continue to support the movements we've seen.
Chris, what have you seen this week that's kind of caught your eye or maybe to maybe pay attention to for folks out there listening?
Yeah, I mean, I think Mike really picked up on some of the main key points. And, you know, I know later in the show, we're going to be discussing some of the merits of diversification. And I really think that that's beginning to play an even larger role than maybe it has over the last 5 years, where we've seen predominantly the American markets be the far and away leader when we look at asset classes at the end of the year. But as Mike mentioned, earnings, we're starting to see a lot of the earnings driven from foreign sales, from markets and countries and places that we've discussed that, you know, while they have their hosts of issues, they're still selling a lot of products. There's a lot of consumers worldwide. And I think that's fueling not only foreign companies, but also our domestic companies that sell internationally. So as we start to see the rise of international parts of the markets, earnings strong for them and for us, I agree. There's a lot of this market seems to be a lot more sound than maybe 2007 or 2000 by comparison. Not to say something couldn't come along and change that, because usually, I know you and I were discussing that just about the time everybody starts to, you know, say, hey, this can only go anywhere but up is usually about the time where it decides to take a completely normal step back. But that's generally when you have an overwhelming optimism for those folks that, you know, say, well, it can go nowhere but up. You start to see them, you know, coming out of a diversified model and trying to chase the hottest performer is usually about the time when we see things begin to come back. But, you know, I think when you look, when you drill down into that, though, we're still not seeing mutual funds, equity mutual funds, getting a huge inflow. So there's still a lot of people who have a fear out there. And while that exists, there's no reason to say that this can't continue.
Mike, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal this week. I wanted you to comment upon it. And it talked about Wells Fargo having to pay $3.4 million over an advisor's flub. And I think what it talked about is that they agreed to compensate customers after recommending exchange-traded products linked to stock market equity volatility without fully understanding the risk. And I think FINRA basically came down on the side that said, look, when you're recommending these type of things, you better make sure, A, that the customer understands it, or B, that it's a fit for the portfolio. And it got me to thinking about the DOL rule, which we've talked about, clients' best interests. And I think this is just instance that people in our business have to respond to. And I think I think it's a wake-up call for everybody who's looking at structuring a long-term portfolio, making sure they better do it the right way.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I think we've always commented in regards to the DOL rule, you know, ask the advisor you're working with, ask your broker if you're held to that fiduciary standard, make sure the products they're recommending, any of the strategies they're trying to implement for you are truly in your mm-hmm. best interest, as opposed to something that is being sold because it generates a high commission, or frequent trading because that generates commissions. We always talk about that difference between the suitability requirement yes. that brokers are held to and the fiduciary standard that a firm like ours is held to, operating as the registered investment advisor. So always encouraging clients to make sure you understand what role your financial advisor is working in, and don't be afraid to ask them, are you held to a fiduciary standard in this capacity?
Yeah, I think that's key. And I think that's one of the things where you have to make sure you do your homework, make sure you're asking the right questions. But I think it's something to pay attention to make sure that you're always looking for. Guys, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into a couple of topics here this morning. Back in just one more minute with more Money Matters.
Have you been to Baxter's Restaurant and Chop House lately? If you haven't, you're missing one of the best dining experiences in the area. Enjoy a certified Angus beef hand-cut steak, or perhaps some of their seafood that's flown in daily, as fresh as you can get. Baxter's also features fine wines and spirits to complement their menu choices. And don't forget about daily happy hour specials and gift cards for the holidays. When you're looking for an enjoyable lunch or dinner experience, look no further than Baxter's, located on East Empire across from the airport and now open in Champaign-Urbana.
Where your child spends their day while you're at work is a big deal. Hi, this is Katie, owner of Katie's Kids Learning Center. We understand how children blossom in a safe, welcoming home-like environment. It's equally important for parents to know that their kids are learning and thriving in a play-based setting. That's why we partner with our parents. At Katie's Kids, our goal is to have a meaningful and positive impact on your child's life. Call or stop in today to learn how to enroll your child, or go to katieskids.net. Developing relationships, the heart of quality care.
Welcome back to the show, Money Matters. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Got off to a great start with Chris Rudy, Mike Flaherty from Kingston Wealth Management. Guys, I wanted to kind of go to the next stage because, Chris, you talked a little bit about maybe kind of how we can maybe dovetail into more of a diversification discussion with a strategy. And, you know, there's been over the years that, you know, sort of an idea of thinking about investment buckets, maybe three different categories of ways of putting money away. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that because I think it makes a lot of sense when you kind of tiering things, when you guys talk about that. And this is obviously, as you always talked about, this is not just one strategy. It is one strategy amongst many that you need to consider.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly something that, you know, we seem to gravitate towards many times when we're looking at evaluating a client's needs as part of an overall financial yeah. plan. But every person's strategy could be different. But what I think you're getting at, and I think it's a good way to look at it, is identifying your asset allocation. You may target one general asset allocation, but you may arrive at that mm-hmm. by using a number of allocations based on your time horizon. So, you know, we tend to see the 401k IRAs be allocated a little bit more towards growth, typically, because we see people using that mm-hmm. later on in their life. You know, many times, if you can, you know, afford to do so, really delaying until that Wait age that. 70 and a half till when you have to start taking a required distribution to try to get the growth tax deferred for as long as possible. Mm-hmm. But when you look at, hey, how do I meet immediate needs that maybe I don't want to keep it in the bank to be, you know, right now paying, you know, zero to, mm-hmm. to a little over that percent. You may take a strategy where you invest a little bit more balanced, a little bit less growth, try to maybe limit that volatility to an extent, knowing that those are the dollars that you're going to hit on first. So if you can structure your investments in a way where you know that you've got readily accessible dollars
right.
beyond what you're saving in emergency savings for the bank, and ultimately arrive at an overall target asset allocation, you can break it up into ways where you can still get growth in some, but have the ability to rely on others a little more favorably.
Mike, if I understand it, as you empty maybe one of those buckets, let's say you're in a particular time when the market's not performing real well, it's a bear market. and you start utilizing some of those dollars that Chris was talking about, can you refill those buckets from time to time as the way different things perform and kind of level them out?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that becomes some of the additional ongoing strategy of maintaining that is have those more liquid reserves and things built up. I know we do it all the time with clients when we're working on their retirement income plan. You know, where do we pull money from first as we need it to provide living expenses for the next 1 year, 2 years, whatever it is. And if we are in that period, as you're mentioning, where the markets have declined and we don't want to tap 401k or IRA assets, well, that's why we've set some of these other short-term resources aside, and we'll use those. And as the market recovers and 401k and IRA assets grow back to where they were or in excess, we can always kind of rebalance along the different buckets or different strategies and get us back to where we started and continue to manage the strategy going forward from there.
Chris, one of the things that you see a lot of times, and it's not uncommon for someone who's getting age 65 and above to have this notion that all of my assets need to be in that protected bucket where fixed income, bonds, things of that nature, because, hey, I can't take that risk and volatility of having equity exposure. That may not work in all cases.
Yeah, and really that's probably one of the main, if not the main issue that we run into with a lot of folks that we meet, current clients or folks that have questions that we're sitting down to meet with. I think that the idea that it just overwhelmingly been drilled into everyone's head is that, well, when I retire, I've got this need to protect everything that I've saved, and you know, I can't afford to see my principal go back. It's really what we try to do is illustrate that retirement is much more of an income issue than a principal issue. It's not always, because you're never going to consume the entire amount that you've got saved all in a short amount of time.
Right.
What you need to do is identify a way to responsibly draw down from those assets over the course of your retirement. So what we do is try to illustrate to folks that, you know, a normal two-person retirement right now, on average, say the couple is 65, one is going to live to or through age 90. So when you're talking about not having an income, maybe you don't have a pension and your only fixed income now is Social Security, and having to use the assets that you've saved, that you've invested through 401k IRA to last, you know, three decades, you need to have some growth potential in there. Now, you know, not everyone has to be 100% equity. By no means are we advocating for that or one particular strategy. But the idea that you can't go ultra conservative because your cost of living may outpace your growth in that type of an allocation.
Mike, we're kind of talking about addressing risk in some sort of vein. And that's something that you guys, I think, routinely do when you're looking at a financial plan, when you're looking at structuring something, kind of measuring what that risk tolerance that a household can really maintain.
Yeah. And I think one of the things we always talk about with the risk, you know, as you're mentioning, risk tolerance is really the willingness to take risk and the ability, right? And for a lot of people, there's a little more ability and maybe their willingness isn't as much because they just, I'm not going to sleep as well at night if I've got this level of volatility in my portfolio. So really, you know, get educating them, as Chris mentioned, you know, the longevity that we see and what clients can expect in retirement, they need to be willing to take some of that volatility in the short term to get those equity higher returns over the long term, because when you're talking about inflation over the next 20 years,
medical
costs, long-term care potential, you know, long-term care needs that may arise, you're going to need to see some sustained growth in that portfolio. So getting into the, you know, the question you initially brought up of a client moving too much into a fixed bucket of money or something that's going to provide that principal protection but not necessarily give them the growth they need over the long time, that can probably actually damage the longevity of that plan more than the short-term volatility.
One of the things, Chris, too, that I always think about is we're going to go through times. We saw it in 1987. We're celebrating that anniversary. Not something to celebrate, but we're down 22% one day, which would be the equivalent, I think we mentioned, about 5,000 points in today's Dow market. By being diversified, by having this thing set up, it kind of prepares you to maybe avoid that knee-jerk reaction that, things are getting so bad, I got to get rid of all my equity.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's what we're trying to illustrate with all of this discussion, whether or not you use this tiered structure or you go about having that financial plan in place and identifying that overlying asset allocation, that correct mixture of stock to bond investments or whatever you're having in there, having the emergency fund built in, all of that is geared towards the goal of you not making a reaction when we have either, like you're pointing out, one large down day, or we have a prolonged period right. where we're in a steady decline. And we know that that's going to happen numerous times over a three-decade retirement. And so being prepared, having a document, a plan in place, I think goes a long way to help shore up that mentality that, hey, I understand that things are going to fluctuate. When they do, we have specific steps in place. So I'm not out there just making decisions on a whim that, you know, can really prolong and ruin a long financial retirement.
Mike, do you feel like the clients that you talk to understand that? I mean, it makes sense to a lot of folks?
Yeah, I do. I think we've really had some good relationships with clients and have done a pretty good job educating them on these concepts. Sure. So when some of these short-term fluctuations come in the market, they're not as reactive and panicking to that day or month, as Chris has mentioned.
Yeah, well, great discussion, guys. I think it's something it's a big part of your business, and I think it's something that people need to understand. There are ways to maybe attack some of these issues. We need to take a break, back in just a minute to wrap up the show.
When is the last time your bank did something exciting? Something truly amazing. It's time you discover Bloomington Normal Community Bank, your home for amazing banking experiences.
With the amazing account, your checking account earns an annual percentage yield of 5.01% on up to $5,000, rewarded to you in points.
Then you can redeem these points for gift cards, travel, merchandise, even cash.
Plus, there are other ways your amazing account earns points, like using your debit card. So why choose ordinary when you can have something amazing?
Some conditions apply. Come see one of our amazing bankers. We have time for you. Bloomington Normal Community Bank, a division of Morton Community Bank, member FDIC.
Some of the best experiences in life are carefully planned down to the last detail to ensure their enjoyment. Retirement living is no different. If you haven't thought about your options, Westminster Village wants to remind you that now is the time to plan ahead and do your research. Westminster Village believes in celebrating life by providing excellence in senior living through a continuum of care and services. Call today to schedule a tour and see how the campus can fit into your plans for the future. It's never too early to plan ahead, so be sure to ask about waiting list opportunities as well. Westminster Village is a continuing care retirement community offering independent living, licensed assisted living, and skilled nursing care, all on its 40-acre campus in Bloomington. Ask questions and stay updated by following them on Facebook and Twitter at Westminster VLG, or visit the website at westminstervillageinc.com to schedule your campus visit.
Welcome back to the show, Money Matters. John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Thanks for being here this morning. Certainly want to thank our sponsors, Bloomington Normal Community Bank, Baxter's Grill, Katie's Kids, as well as Westminster Village, all great companies right here in McLean County. Guys, in the time we have left, subject comes up a lot of times are people talk about inherited IRAs, and it can be confusing, and you got to get this right. But Chris, maybe start with you first. What is the kind of thing that you really look at as far as, I guess, establishing who the owner is first and foremost, and then what happens beyond that point?
Yeah, so typically when you have an IRA, you have a named beneficiary that at your passing that those assets can be transferred to. Now you can look at it. One is if that person is your spouse, there's one way to go about it. It's a lot easier, I guess you would say, because your spouse can assume your IRA assets as their own. But if you have someone other than your spouse named, number one, that person is identified from the custodian based on the name, contact information, and social security number that you've provided. But really what you get into as a beneficiary, if someone has named you as a beneficiary in their IRA, there's a couple different processes that you have to go through, and depending on where that account owner was, if they'd begun taking their required right. distributions yet, or they hadn't. You basically have three options. You can take all the assets okay. right now, and all the tax would be due on it.
Okay.
You can try to spend it down over a period of 5 years equal with equal payments. Or what most people like to do is try to continue that tax deferment for as long as possible, knowing that you still have to take out a required piece each year. But instead of on the previous owner's age, it's based on your life expectancy and your age. And it's very easy. There's a lot of calculators out there where you can kind of put in all the particulars mm-hmm. to come up with what that is. But the main thing to know is that if you are the beneficiary of an inherited IRA, number one, you can't combine it with your own personal IRA if you have one.
Mm-hmm.
But to always remember that there's probably something that you have to take out each year, and you want to make sure you do that.
Mike, you know, we've seen several years ago, I know we had a client who had an issue with it and didn't handle it right. Not through no fault of theirs, because it can be very, very difficult to mine through this thing. What are you seeing when you see those situations as some of the stumbling blocks, or maybe the potential stumbling blocks that could occur if it's not handled properly?
Yeah, I think the primary one is the one Chris just kind of hit on, of not handling the required minimum distribution aspect of those accounts. Mm-hmm. So someone just thinks, well, I inherited this. I'd
right.
like to let it sit there forever, understanding there's still some stipulations that go along with that of how that money comes out. And again, it's all going to depend on whether it was a spouse IRA or a non-spouse, whether it's someone who had begun taking mm-hmm. distributions, what your options are. So I think you definitely, if you're in this position, want to at least sit down and talk with someone to understand yeah. how do I go about moving this account into my name? Do I want to take it as a lump sum and do something different with it? What are the tax implications of all these different strategies? And making sure you really know how all that lines up in regards to your objectives and goals, so you can really make the best decision when it comes down to it and not be put in that position where you didn't take RMDs or you took
right.
a full account and ended up paying penalties or more tax than you wanted.
Guys, I know if folks want to get in touch with you guys, as they have been doing, they can reach you at 663-9477. I know you guys like to take appointments with folks, and it's really worked out really well. And I encourage folks, if you're interested and want to talk to these guys, give them a ring next week or after, and they'll be glad to sit down with you. Out of time, fellas. We need to take off. Back next week with another edition of Money Matters. Till then, this is John Rudy saying thanks.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.
The average American spends more time planning vacations than they do planning for retirement, and that's a problem, given the length of time many folks will be living in the years to come. At Kingston Wealth Management, we help clients find a balance, which should allow them to responsibly enjoy life while maintaining financial viability. We have access to state-of-the-art software that can take all the variables into consideration as we develop a financial plan with you, not just for you. Client input is critical in coming up with a plan that does more than just sit on a shelf once it's produced. The team at Kingston Wealth Management is ready to go to work for you. Just give us a call at 663-9477 to set up a no-obligation appointment soon. Make the call today, because time truly waits for no one. Kingston Wealth Management. Financial solutions above and beyond.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.